Jane Goodall is in Africa. She's on her way to discover what's been happening to the chimpanzees she's made world famous. It's a rare chance to go back to her roots, taking a break from spreading the message of conservation. This year, Jane's visit couldn't have come at a more vital time. The chimps she's known for a lifetime are in the throes of revolution. Their leader is under attack. Frodo, the dominant and tyrannical male, has ruled for 5 brutal years. But as Jane finds out, his grip is slipping.
Poor old thing. Never thought I'd feel sorry for him.
On the shores of Lake Tanganyika in East Africa is Gombe, a very special strip of forest. Just half the size of Manhattan, it's home to a group of chimpanzees who've been studied for 44 years, longer than any other animals on the planet. Jane started her work at Gombe in 1960. One of her most radical moves was to name her chimps, most famously the F family, all with F names like Fifi, Freud, and their current leader, Frodo. He's the biggest and strongest chimp ever known at Gombe, the dominant alpha male. His reign reflects his personality. Frodo is belligerent and aggressive. He uses bullying and muscle to rule his community of 50 chimps with an iron fist. Frodo's mother, Fifi, is the only chimp still alive from Jane's early work in the 1960s. More than 40 years later, Jane's on her way back to find out what's happening to Fifi's family in what's becoming a tumultuous year. Before she can return, she has one more stop to make. In Scotland. At 70 years old, Jane Goodall is a dedicated campaigner for the great apes she loves. She spends more than 300 days a year on a continuous and punishing worldwide lecture tour. Today, she's speaking to an animal welfare group, and as usual, it's a sellout.
If you meet Jane on the street, you would just walk by. She's just a little lady with grey hair who is minding her own business, nobody out of the ordinary. If you put her on the stage and give her her subject, her whole persona changes. She's magic.
Mic isn't on. Hello. Is that better? Why didn't you say before?
She just holds people in her hands.
And I think most of you know how as a child I was passionate about animals. You all know Dr. Dolittle, you must do. A doctor who learned to speak with the animals. I wanted to do that. And then I met Tarzan of the Apes. I fell in love with Tarzan. And I was very jealous of that wretched, wimpy Jane of his. And I thought that I would be a much better mate for Tarzan myself. Well, I would have been, right? Don't you think so?
Jane made her childhood dreams come true. By the time she was 23, she'd saved up enough to travel to Africa. There she worked for the legendary paleontologist Louis Leakey. She got her heart's desire, not Tarzan, but a chance to study the chimps at Gombe. Chimpanzees are closer to us than any other ape. We share bonds of blood, brain, and emotion with them.
I think the most amazing thing really is how like us these chimpanzees are. There's the fact that they do all have these vivid individual personalities. They're as different from each other as we are. We find that the brain of the chimpanzee is more like ours than that of any other living creature. We could have a blood transfusion from a chimp if we match the blood groups, but not from a gorilla.
Jane is a tireless campaigner for the animals she loves.
Jane doesn't rest. She's writing books, dealing with telephone calls, emails that have come in.
So thank you for coming. Thank you for listening.
She really just doesn't stop for a moment.
Thank you.
The lecture isn't the end. There's hours more work to follow.
Could you tell how many kids came up tonight and said that I'd given them hope? They said it's a quiet evening to you. I mean, that's why I do it.
Thank you so much for your talk. It's
thank
so inspiring.
You.
How can I retire? I can only retire when the world has been safe, which is not going to be safe.
Not over the chimps, though.
No, I wouldn't dream of putting it over the chimps.
Jane's life has always revolved around her work. Wherever in the world her conservation mission takes her, she's passionate about spreading her message. But Africa, where it all started, is rarely far from her thoughts.
Here it is, late at night in Edinburgh, and in about 10 days I'll be in Gombe. I can't wait. It's going to be super.
This year's been difficult for the chimpanzees of Gombe. Tensions are building. Chimps live in complex and volatile communities. There's usually one dominant male at the top of a maze of social, sexual, and family relationships. Jane was the first to unravel the maze, and many of her revelations about chimpanzee behavior and personality focused on the F family. Fifi is now a matriarch, mother of nine. Her eldest son is Freud, thoughtful, popular. He was the leader, but was deposed by younger brother, Frodo. Frodo is Fifi's second son and, for now, the king of Gombe. Seizing power is tough and always involves violence. Keeping power means big displays of bravado, drumming on trees and smashing branches. Accepting submissive gestures, physical contact and grooming are also important ways to seal bonds of family and ties of friendship. While Jane has been away, a mystery illness has struck the Gombe chimps. The cause isn't clear, but as more people enter the forest, the risks of infecting chimpanzees with human disease become much higher. Frodo is worst hit. Once all-powerful, the weight has dropped off him. He looks old before his time. And with his strength sapped, his reign is very shaky. In the wings, his rivals watch and wait. On a break from her world lecture tour, Jane Goodall is back in Africa. She's in Dar es Salaam, capital of Tanzania, on her way to catch up on the latest drama which has overtaken the chimpanzees of Gombe. Jane's former home is on the edge of Dar es Salaam. It's now the Tanzanian base of the Jane Goodall Institute. But back in the 1970s, it was where she did much of her early writing and holds many memories.
It's a house which was built ages ago. I don't know when my late husband, Derek Bryson, moved here, about independence, 61. But I don't live here very much now, and it falls to pieces if you don't look after it.
Jane wants to keep going, so it's time to say goodbye to people she rarely sees.
Grub?
Including her son, Hugo, Grub? Nicknamed Grub.
You could come and meet me.
Yep, okay.
Jane, you want some fruit or something for the plane?
Mm-hmm. No. No, they usually feed you little bits of mess.
It is a 700-mile flight from Dar es Salaam to Kigoma, the closest town to Gombe. It's a remote area, and the razor-sharp mountains surrounding Gombe block any road access. There's no electricity, no running water.
How are you?
So happy.
Thank you.
So happy.
Supplies all come in the same way, a two-hour boat journey across the second-largest freshwater lake on Earth. Jane's made this trip countless times, but every time it is like coming home again.
Being in Gombe is really my way of recharging my batteries. I can recapture the same excitement, the same thrill, the same concerns as I had when I was 26. It's just as though no time has passed at all.
Jane has a lot of catching up to do. It's months since anyone saw Frodo. She has only 3 days to find him and get up to date on the other chimps. Helping her, a team of researchers based at the park.
2:15, she was feeding on some shoots of a tree.
It's not hard for a chimpanzee to vanish in Gombe. It's rugged terrain, and chimps know every inch of the 13 steep-sided valleys and dense evergreen forest. They're used to traveling several miles a day in search of food. If Frodo's trying to steer clear of his rivals, he could be anywhere. Jane's been tracking chimpanzees here, including Frodo's grandmother, since the summer of 1960. As a young woman of 26, she rose early and tracked them till dusk. After only a few weeks, she was rewarded with a breakthrough.
One day, as I was traveling through the undergrowth, I peered with my binoculars, and there was a chimpanzee hunched over a termite mound, picking pieces of grass and using them as tools to fish for termites. Moreover, picking leafy twigs, stripping the leaves, which is the beginning of tool making. And that was tremendously exciting because at that time we thought that humans and only humans used and made tools. In fact, we were defined as man the toolmaker when I was growing up at school.
Unique among the great apes, chimps not only learn, but remember how to use tools. The skills are passed down from generation to generation, reinforcing the strong and lasting emotional bonds between family members. No sign of Frodo. But there is a large gathering of chimpanzees close by. Some old friends. One of them, Gremlin, is particularly special to Jane. She's the mother of twins, Goldie and Glitter.
Gremlin is my favorite living chimp, and I've known her ever since she was born. I loved her mother, Melissa,
and spent hours and hours with the family as Gremlin was growing up. She then became a mother, and she's just the most wonderful mother. And I think if she wasn't, she would never have managed to raise twins, because that's really tough for a female. And Gaia, her eldest child, is just, she's a real favorite too. Same personality as her mother. And she really, really, really helped to raise the twins, no question. She was like a, you know, a little older sister doing a lot of babysitting.
Chimpanzees have strong ideas about where they want to go and what they want to do, especially when they're energetic youngsters. The twins go their separate ways and keep up a barrage of cries to let Gremlin know where they are, even if she can't see them. Jane spent more than 40 years among the chimpanzees. Even when she can't see them, every sound they make tells her a story.
Well, I think we're hearing that somebody's found lovely food and is very excited, but wants her mother to come back, so it's a mixture of excitement and kind of whining. I think that's what it is.
It turns out that Glitta has indeed found food. Young infants like to stay within reach of their mothers. But when they get to the twins' age, about 5, they become more willing to explore, not to mention harder to control.
It's tough for humans to bring up twins if they don't have help. And for a chimpanzee mother, she's got to carry them. Then if one wants to go one way and one the other, as happened just now, what's she to do? She's stuck in the middle, and she gave pantoots and drumming in sheer frustration and then went back to the one that was screaming loudest, and the other had to follow. And they manipulate their mothers, so her screams were manipulating Gremlin to come back, which she did. So it's really tough. It's double, or perhaps more than double, the work of one. Where do you think they'll go next?
They'll go up to the next Uguisa tree. She's been cooperative, and I've seen more of her today than I did all day yesterday.
It's because I'm here. When she first appeared, she literally, she turned direction up the lip, and she came, and she sat, and she looked at me. It was just so...
Where have you been?
It's no surprise that Jane has formed a special relationship with some of the Gombe chimpanzees. She's spent decades watching and trying to understand them as they've grown up.
When I look in Gremlin's eyes, the one thing I know is that I'm looking into the eyes of a thinking, feeling individual. I'd give anything to be in the mind of a chimpanzee and look out on the world through chimpanzee's eyes, even for just a couple of minutes.
Soon her twins will be weaned, and Gremlin will become pink, ready to mate again. She's a popular female and will definitely be a focus of male attention. It'll be hard for the 4 contenders for alpha male to avoid running into each other at the raucous mating party. Chimpanzees live in complex communities, like we do. And like ours, their communities are flexible and volatile. Individuals always jockeying for power and control. We know chimps have intelligence, a form of society, problem-solving skills. We know they can plan, we know they have memory, and even an idea of self. Jane Goodall's research was central to these discoveries. She could have chosen to continue this work for the rest of her life. But 18 years ago, her world changed abruptly.
In 1986, we had a conference where, for the first time ever, all the people doing chimp research in the field and in certain captive situations came together for a 4-day conference. And during that conference, there was a session on conservation. And one after the other, the researchers were showing slides of what had happened in their part of Africa. And it was shocking. Habitat destruction, hunting, wire snares, and it became very obvious that the chimps were in grave peril. So I went into that conference as a scientist planning to come back to Gombe to continue collecting and analyzing data. And I came out as an activist, raising awareness about chimps and the destruction of the environment around the world.
Jumbo, Abari.
Jane believes children are the key to preserving the environment and protecting animals for the future. She set up the worldwide Roots and Shoots program for children and makes visits to schools a priority, like this one.
Jumbo.
Jumbo.
Bonjour. Come on, that's chimpanzee. This is a big male chimp.
I'm putting so much of my energy into developing our Roots and Shoots program for youth. And that's now in 70 countries around the world. It's all about the kids making the world a better place for animals, people, and the environment.
Since 1986, Jane's work has grown in scale in every direction: education, conservation, and more controversially, chimpanzee rescue. The Jane Goodall Institute now helps fund 4 sanctuaries for chimpanzees, including Chimpunga in Brazzaville, Congo, the largest in Africa. Built on a former army firing range, Chimpunga is now home to 115 chimpanzees, almost all orphans. One of them is very close to Jane's heart. Gregoire has spent most of his life in captivity, and at about 60 is probably the oldest surviving chimp in the world.
Hello, Gregoire.
Hello, Gregoire. You funny old man.
Adult chimpanzees are very strong, and even past his physical prime, Gregoire could still do Jane some serious harm. But she's not afraid. She knows this chimp,
look,
and he knows her.
I first met Gregoire in 1991, I think it was, and he was in the Brazzaville Zoo in a cage by himself, a dark cage, and he had absolutely no hair, and you could see every single bone of his body. And so he came here, and we managed to build him this little outside place. Gregoire, you make it so hard for me to tell your story. And he's so gentle. He's been horribly abused in his life, and yet look how sweet he is. He's just the most lovely old man.
The chimps here were all born wild. Victims of the bush meat trade, they are orphans, traded by poachers and in street markets after their mothers were killed or maimed. Without home, family, or resources of their own, they get round-the-clock care from a team of more than 40 helpers and are destined to a life of dependence. It's true that chimps love their food, and bananas are a favorite, but it's hard to see these enclosures as paradise. This is Jane Goodall's chimp sanctuary in Brazzaville, Congo, West Africa. It's the closest these 115 orphans of the bush meat trade will ever come to having a mother, a normal life, and a family.
Oh, they're white mouthfuls. Trouble is that each one of them is used to or expects 24 hours a day attention from the mother. So, I mean, here, one girl is trying to be a mother to so many young chimps. All of these youngsters have mothers who were actually eaten by human beings for food, not because they were starving, in which case you could at least understand it, but simply because many people here prefer the taste of wild animals, and chimpanzees are just wild animals for them.
The international logging industry has opened up the forests. This has turned localized killing of wild animals, including chimpanzees, from subsistence hunting into a business. The loggers eat so-called bushmeat, and huge numbers of carcasses are smuggled out to market on logging trucks. 1 million tons of bushmeat a year end up on local tables.
Genocide. It makes me always feel really, really depressed. We're right in the heart of the bushmeat trade. And every time a mother chimpanzee is shot for food and she has a small infant, there's really no meat on a baby chimp, then the hunter is likely to try and sell that chimp to whoever will buy it. And because it's illegal, if we can persuade the government to confiscate them, then they're brought to the sanctuary.
Confiscated youngsters almost always arrive very young and emotionally distraught. They need constant care, night and day. And above all, they need affection.
You have to try and make up for losing their mother. So just the right food isn't enough. They can still die because they need love. Young chimps need love. So you see these sad reaching out to each other and going along cuddled up, trying to get that reassurance they used to get from being attached to the mother. It's just so sad.
Sanctuaries like Chimpunga come at a high price. It's unlikely any of these orphan chimps will ever be returned to the wild, and looking after them costs time and money. With medicines, food bills, and salaries to pay, there's no change out of $350,000 a year. Some conservationists think this is just throwing money away.
I get a lot of criticism for looking after chimps in a sanctuary. It's expensive. You have to care for them probably for 60 years. That's as long as they live. And shouldn't we be using the precious dollars to save the last of the wild chimpanzees in the last forest? And I so well remember the first infant that I saw tied up for sale in a market. And I approached, I thought he was dying, but he sat up. I made the little sound of close-up chimpanzee greeting. He sat up, he reached out, and he touched my face. Well, as I've spent my whole life emphasizing the importance of the individual, how could I turn away from that little hand and those pleading eyes?
Putting chimpanzees back in the wild is a seemingly impossible dream. They need something that barely exists, a forest with enough food, a forest with no local chimps who'd attack them, or humans who'd hunt and kill them.
Those places are few and far between, and we're constantly looking for them, because if we find such a place, it's absolutely possible for a human to teach chimpanzees how to live in the wild.
Until the world changes, there will be a steady supply of orphan chimps for Chimpunga. It might be an easier life than in the wild. They are safe and cared for, but they are also prisoners of their destiny. It's a new day at Gombe, the research station Jane Goodall set up in 1960. Time is slipping by, but she's hoping researcher Bill Wallower will help her find what's happened to Frodo, the brutal but deposed leader of Gombe's chimp community. It's months since he's been seen. Wasted by disease, he was challenged and driven into hiding by the other males. He's choosing to stay out of sight, and Jane is worried something may have gone badly wrong. In Frodo's place, deep uncertainty. So far, no male has proved tough enough to claim alpha status. Sometimes no one stands out as a winner, and minor scuffles go on for months. It's easy to understand why. Frodo was such a bully, none of the other males had any idea who would take over after him.
I've known Frodo since he was a tiny, tiny baby, when I used to call him my little frog because he used to bounce up and down as soon as he could walk. And from the time when he was a child, he was aggressive towards other chimps. He was aggressive towards me. It was so bad that if there were two youngsters playing and Frodo came to join in, they knew that if he did join in, very soon he'd hurt one of them. So they would stop playing when he arrived. And he's just a great big bug. On the other hand, he was easily the most handsome and the biggest and the heaviest chimpanzee we've ever had at Gombe.
Frodo's had enough. His beating has left the young male battered and semi-conscious. Four other males have been attacked and left for dead like this in the last 2 years. These are pre-planned attacks. Another chilling insight into how close we can be to our nearest cousins. It's the last day of Jane Goodall's visit to the Gombe Stream Research Station in Tanzania. She and researcher Bill Wallower search for Frodo, the once ruthless, now deposed alpha male, who's been missing for months. It could be months before the power struggle is resolved, and there is still no sign of Frodo. Jane and Bill know their chances of finding Frodo alive are fading fast. Then, suddenly, on the beach, a lone chimpanzee comes into view. He's too far away to be identified at first. He comes closer. Unbelievably, it's Frodo, emerging from a 6-month exile. It was a year ago when Jane last saw him. Frodo was a chimpanzee in his adult prime. Now he looks like a battered old man. Unexpectedly, he makes his way to Jane's house.
Frodo, you don't look yourself at all. I really wouldn't have recognized him except by looking into his face, but his whole build has changed completely. Oh, Frodo. He looks old with his pelvic bones, and that's how they look when they're old. He must remember being alpha, being the supreme leader.
Most chimpanzees are highly sociable. Frodo must be craving the company he's used to. But if he tries to join the group he's been with all his life, he's almost certain to be attacked.
He hates to be alone, I think. So he's coming back because he misses Mum. Misses, you know, the females. Misses being part of the gang, I guess. The chimpanzees have given me so much throughout my life. And so I now feel it's desperately important that I use as much as I can the wisdom I've learned from them to try and save them, because chimpanzees right across Africa are disappearing even as we speak.
You've been listening to an Animal Planet feature presentation with John Patrick Walker.